With me in the studio, I have Beth and Aisha from the production team. How are you both doing?
Good, thanks. How
good.
Are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, look, feeling fresh, feeling funky. And actually, you know what? No, I'm feeling a little stale because on Monday we went and watched this film together. Mm-hmm.
That we did.
And we have a lot of thoughts.
We really do, don't we?
We have a lot of thoughts. So we want to watch the Sia movie. It's called Music. Mm-hmm. It was released just, what, like a couple of weeks ago or something?
I believe so. Very recent.
And, you know, like it's got Kate Hudson in it.
Yeah, some big names. 7th of January is when it came out.
7th of January,
oh, wow.
Right.
Very so fresh.
And like, you know, this is a bit of a passion project that Sia has been working on. So yeah. We thought that we'd give it a review, seeing as we kind of covered the controversy. What did you think, Aisha?
Look, to say Music was a cinematic masterpiece would basically be a great injustice to such album feature films like Beyoncé's Black is King and The Who's Tommy. So not only did this movie explore the complexities of themes such as suicide, domestic abuse, and addiction, it also seemed to simultaneously glorify them through a very funneled savior complex. So I guess let's start with what the movie is actually about.
Okay.
So Music loosely follows the storyline of heavily autistic Music and her older half-sister, Kazoo, played by Kate Hudson, as they navigate the changes of life after the death of their grandmother. Mm. Recently sober and under probation, Kazoo discovers that adapting to change is not easy, but with the help of their neighbour, Ebo, played by Hamilton's Leslie Odom Jr., she sets on a journey towards a new start in a clean slate in life.
So already we're kind of getting positionings of a rom-com here, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Now, also, when I say the movie loosely follows that storyline, I'm not joking. Like, the movie also follows the plotline of a boy struggling with the mounting pressure from his dad to be a good boxer, when in reality, he's just a little bit of a pacifist.
And wants to dance.
Yeah.
He just wanted to dance.
It's very sad. But he seems to have some sort of friendship with Music that ties him to the original plot, but it's not clearly mentioned throughout the film. And this film has heaps of expository dialogue and scenes, yet it still remained quite vague and confusing.
Yeah, and like this is what really for me was the most confusing part, which was that like there were all these, you know, like you could say that it was a very detailed film and how it built certain characters and, you know, like set dressing and all this kind of stuff. But it just feels like, you know, there's this idea in literature of Chekhov's gun, like every single detail should have significance in the storyline. And I just don't feel like it did.
No. Well, I just think that it, even if in Sia's potentially, because, you know, we know that this is a passion project of hers that she's had for years in the works. Potentially for her, those minute details would mean something, but she didn't do a very good job of showing and not telling.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, because, you know, in any good movie, film, anything of creative, you know, background or whatever, you want to be able to understand on some level as to what the purpose of those things was. Mm. And with those different storylines, I just didn't get a clear understanding in the end of, like, what was his little boy's significance in relation to Music, other than, you know, there's a scene where, you know, he is her neighbor, and he like flashes a light into her room, and then that transports her into her own, you know, her own dream sequence, and it's potentially of like how she sees the world, and, you know,
But even that, like, even that, I don't think fully explains that they had a friendship.
No, because like, you never see them talk to, like, he never talks to
her. And I don't think that there was that kind of thread tying everything together.
Yeah, no. I feel like as long as the movie was, there was still so much that just didn't have enough time to cover.
Yeah.
Let's pray that there's not a sequel. but yeah, I guess the main issue that we had and that we were discussing a couple of weeks ago is the idea of Maddie Ziegler playing a neuroatypical child of like a very high end of the autism spectrum. So
nonverbal,
very few words at least, lots of tics, lots of sort of gimmicks of some sort. But I will say it did take me a while watching the movie to get my head around the whole playing a heavily autistic kid.
Yeah.
It struck a very uncomfortable chord with me, and I kind of sort of compared it to the movie Rain Man on their approach of portraying autism. It seems as though the movie could have completely disregarded the fact that
Music had
autism and instead made her mute, and it would have not affected the storyline at all because, as you did say, it was a bit of a rom-commy kind of film, and it kind of didn't really play in the hands of this is music's story. It played in the hands of this is everyone else's story and music is just autistic.
Let's and also real. That, you know, Kate Hudson's character is going through all of these different, like, you know, life changes.
It was Kazoo's story.
It was
Kate Hudson's story entirely.
Definitely.
And I feel like, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, the complication of having to look after a sibling who can't look after herself, like, that's all well and good. But I feel like it just, you know, it's such a hard thing to portray well and to do justice to when you're trying to talk about, you know, people who are neuroatypical and neurodivergent.
Yeah.
And doing it in such a kind of like offhanded way like Sia did seems disrespectful. Like, it was uncomfortable for me to watch Maddie Ziegler play music.
And when we were
viscerally uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I think that what we were talking about before is when Sia had gone to Twitter and, you know, had a lot of backlash because she had gone at actors on the autism spectrum saying that they have never gotten any call-outs for that movie and saying that, you know, they weren't, you know,
they
were available, but she said that they're a bad actor, as we had heard on the soundbite before from the previous discussion that we had. She even actually, she's gone to Twitter or she talked about what, she was speaking to some review or something, so I'm just trying to...
She was replying to someone.
No, but she has gone looking back at that, and she said, looking back, I should have just shut up. I know that now. And she is trying to make up some excuses as to why she reacted that way. And she said that it was 3 a.m. when she had written those tweets, and even though I have a rule that I don't do anything emotional past midnight, she... like, mucked up this time.
So she essentially had a kind of Twitter feud with someone justifying her decisions, and then after being called out on it, didn't actually apologize for the kind of inconsiderate way in which she said that people who were actually on the spectrum.
She also said that to this publication that what I do know is that people functioning at music's level, in regards to music's level of autism and her nonverbalness, they can't actually go onto Twitter and tell her that she did a good job either. So she's pretty much saying that no matter what, I'm going to be like crucified for it, because even the people that are of that same sort of background aren't going to be able to tell me because they don't have the facilities and the ability to, which is sort of controversial in itself.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it comes back to that whole kind of like savior trope that was very clearly seen. I mean, even Sia had like a Stan Lee-esque cameo in the film. And the only source of and purpose of that entire scene was just to promote herself in a good light by being the white famous savior for poor Haitian kids.
Oh, like, my goodness. It was so self-serving. It's so funny because we went and saw the film with Jared from Monday Drive, and he was telling us about how he was watching, I think, this Beatles biopic, and how one of the people who was consulting on the movie was the sixth Beatle or whatever who got dropped, and how when he was consulting on the movie, he aggrandized his own part in it. And this is exactly what Sia did to herself as well. Hey, Aisha, you were saying that you've got a bunch of other things that you picked out with the film. Like, just off air, we were talking about it. What were some of your other thoughts about it?
Right. Well, I guess to start off with, the film had a lot of sudden shocks and multiple plot twists for characters, and that kind of like rubbed me the wrong way because they provided no room for growth, as we mentioned earlier. Like, there was just so much potential to unpack so many different things, but they were just never properly fleshed out to create enough substance for the characters. So it almost was like, here's a plot twist. Oh, wait, here's another one. It's like, well, I'm not going to connect to that character as much as I want to and as much as you want me to, because there's just no substance to it. So
you're right. By, like, creating so many details about characters, but they're not actually giving those details any depth, it doesn't do anything in the way of characterization.
It just is sort of some sort of cheap way for... I feel like I took it as Sia's own way to try and give these characters complex backstories, but without following through with any way for us to develop relationships with that character. So it was like with the, you know, even with the little boyfriend-esque person, we're not going to ruin the film for you listening, but something quite tragic happens for him and you don't even actually know what happened.
Because up until that point, he's only been in the film for like
30 seconds.
Like at least maybe 3 or 4 times, yeah. Making like up like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know,
And the thing that happens to him also, quite frankly, I don't even see the significance of that on the rest of the film. Anyway, yeah, there's a lot of, you know how you hear about showing, not telling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of telling in this film.
Yeah. Well, as I said before, a lot of expository stuff, but very sort of vague.
Minimal follow through.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to further explore the character Ebo for a second, because as I mentioned earlier, he is played by Leslie Odom Jr. from Hamilton, and Ebo is from Africa, and it was a bit of a problem with the whole going about that character, because Sia very much hung on like the westernized version of what Africa is, essentially, and you know, making Leslie utter words like back in Africa and in my village, and it felt a little bit embarrassing that Sia was trying her hardest to advocate against oppression with this movie, yet the ways that characters like Ebo are conveyed, it's all kinds of wrong, and it possibly hinders like any progression that we can get for non-white characters in the film industry.
She was definitely essentializing with his character, right? Yeah. And like, it would be interesting to see, what Leslie's thoughts on this are. I've definitely heard this critique of, when, say, for instance, people of color are playing essentialized versions of their ethnicity on air. Like, you saw Aziz Ansari talk about it on Master of None, how, every time there's an Indian character, it's like they always have to have an accent. They always have to play up, this kind of vague pan-Indian identity. And, Ebo is meant to be Ghanaian, but he's kind of this vague pan-African character.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, it's very two-dimensional.
And we know that Africa as a whole is full of so much difference in culture depending where you go. Like, it's not the same. It's not a blanket.
No.
And it really felt like that. And also, there was a lot of it's not just Ebo's character, it's also the misrepresentation of a lot of the Asian American characters and their portrayals as well that kind of sort of hit that kind of performative, over exaggerated version of what it should truly be. But also another thing that was a bit of a no-no for me was music suffers from 2 meltdowns in the film, and the way that Ebo and Zu comfort her is through tackling her to the ground and constricting her until she's calm, essentially. And this technique is called the prone or supine restraint.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad thing about it is it's actually killed dozens of children who are mostly on the autism spectrum, and injured many in lots of schools, juvenile justice settings, and also psychiatric facilities. And it's really bad. And I think the proper way is like a standing up version, but the way that's portrayed in the movie is they're literally
their whole weight
is on this one girl.
I mean, to be fair, like, none of us really are experts in this field.
Yeah,
like,
this is
all stuff that we've read from people who are, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, that kind of made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah,
well,
I guess when we're seeing like a grown adult lying on top of a 14-year-old kid who Maddie Ziegler was at the time, it doesn't sit well with me. And I guess it was something that just didn't, it made me uncomfortable. A lot of things made me uncomfortable.
And look, like, I guess the purpose of this is it's not to see a bash, right?
No,
like,
definitely
she's put out
not.
Some great stuff, like, you know, she's a musical icon. But
I think it was just a passion project. It was just approached with rose-colored glasses. And, and you had mentioned something about how Aisha, that there's an interview online about Aisha. You weren't doing this, but Sia sort of like semi-fetishizing autism itself.
Yeah, she like it's like paraphrasing. She said something along the lines of, I love autism. I love like learning about it more, but it just came across very uncomfortable and very as though it's your favorite thing and you want to explore more. It was just
like, it's a cute little interesting aspect of some people that they have that she sort of like looks at and is like, oh, that's so weird. I like that.
You know, yeah. For me, Sia, like, has, like, she's one of those people who, in her work and kind of, you know, in her whatever limited personal celebrity she has, a lot of it is very, I guess, you know, she likes to bring up this idea of, like, you know, embracing the inner child and being childish. And, you know, like, a lot of her music, you know, is played on one of those, like, xylophones and all that kind of stuff, you know? Like, there's, and I think that's really nice and really beautiful at times. But when you marry that kind of aesthetic with, you know, talking about, you know, what
heavy stuff
like autism, being on the spectrum, domestic violence and whatever. And when you also know that, you know, people who are on the spectrum, people who are autistic, are already infantilized. It's like you're marrying Sia's infantilizing aesthetic to a group of people who are already infantilized.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, that doesn't sit well with me, I think.
Yeah. You know, look, I think final thoughts is the film could have had potential to be at least, you know, a 5 out of 10. But I think that if proper research and dedication to the specific complexities of the film had been undergone and addressed, it could have probably even been thrown into Sundance or something. But just personally, I think the fairy tale feeling to the ending and throughout the movie itself, and also the jarringness of Sia's mini crazy music videos between scenes, it just didn't really grasp my full support.
Yeah.
I don't know. How do you guys feel?
I feel the same way. I kind of struggled with the, you know, with the whole controversy aspect of it. We all came into it somewhat biased, expecting for it to be uncomfortable to watch. But I also had a thought of, you know, what differs this from, you know, movies that have been, like, you know, really acclaimed, like What's Eating Gilbert Grape, where Leonardo DiCaprio is playing a child with autism. But I looked online and there's this girl, there's this woman that she's on the spectrum and she also reviews movies with, like, autism on screen. And she said that with the thing with Leonardo DiCaprio's, like, portrayal of somebody with autism, as well as, you know, an atypical, and in the movie What's Eating Gilbert Grape, it wasn't, autism wasn't always, like, the issue in the movie. It wasn't, like, all gloomy and doom and gloom the entire time. Like, autism had some light, fun aspects of it, whereas I feel that the way that it was portrayed in this film was potentially that Kazoo had a lot of, you know, barriers to overcome, like her addiction, losing her grandmother, having to step up to the plate to take up after her younger sister. It was just an added roadblock for her. So I think that's what the major thing that I had an issue with.
Yeah. Look, I think my you know, you've both kind of expressed what I thought about the film as well, just largely incoherent. But you know what? If you want to make up your mind yourself, definitely go check it out. It is, you know, it's an interesting watch, and it's going to be talked about for a while. So, look, Aisha, Beth, thank you so much for joining me in the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
No, it was awesome. Let's do more Drive reviews.
Yes, let's do it.
Please.